Let's just be mindful of, however, the determination of how long the questions are determines what time we all get to go home, so. I'm on your schedule, so if we, all right, thanks. It was a good day, guys. Let's talk seventh round. Obviously, we had three picks. We traded the one pick earlier to pick up Matt in the fourth, and that was a we felt was a good decision to make in terms of getting ourselves to the top of that round. And then we started off with Kruger, you know, a young kid, came out early in the draft. Obviously, his brother is Paul. He's more of a defensive end type than an outside linebacker type, but we really think he's going to grow into his body. He's just 21 years old. We think he has a huge upside. Kyle Whittingham, you know, really spoke very, very highly of him. Thought maybe if he did come back for another year, he would be a very high draft pick in next year. But he felt like it was time for him to come out. We had him in for a visit in our top 30, so I got a chance to visit with him and get to know him a little bit. Think it will really add some depth for us at the defensive end spot. Then we followed up with Jordan Poyer, someone I know really well, just an outstanding football player. He's a corner. He's also a nickel. He's also a very, very, very good returner. So I thought we got some depth from a special team standpoint. I think he had six picks this year as a nickel. He's got a lot of experience playing inside and covering slot receivers. Tough, physical, hard-nosed player that will add some depth to us in the secondary. And then the last guy is David King, you know, kind of bookend the Oklahoma picks. A 6'4", 280-pound on testing day, ran 4.64 as a defensive end. Physical, tough, hard-nosed. The two guys that we really talked to Bob Stoops about were Lane Johnson and David King. It's kind of ironic that that was our first pick and our last pick. But with those three guys, I think we finished the day again following where we were, who was on our board, kind of had bated breath with all those last picks. We sat there for a little bit when you go through the fifth round, and we picked at the top of the fifth round to go through the whole fifth and the entire six, and just sit there kind of sitting at the board and ticking off names as they go. But we felt like we got a quality group and, you know, from top to bottom, and I'm real excited to get these guys in here. We got a rookie minicamp, not this weekend, but the following weekend. So,
your first NFL draft, can you just talk about the experience of that, you know, how much fun it was compared to anything that you've ever been through, you know, the warm experience, talk about all that.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm a little nervous, but I don't think using war room is real appropriate in terms of, you know, we had Sergeant Jones here today, and kind of brings things back to reality. You know, we're picking players for the NFL draft, but, you know, I think really with not ever being involved in it, the one thing that was really to me and it was awesome is it's a very orderly process. You know, you spend so much time leading up to it in terms of your preparation, and then you just have to trust your preparation. And I think, you know, the teams that sometimes maybe panic and think they have to jump or, you know, I really like this guy, sometimes you can get emotionally attached and say, you know, you kind of sit there and do we do this and do we panic and do we have to give up something, you know. Just let it come to you as it came, and we felt, you know, through the course of the 3 days that we were here, we were just quality guys that we had ranked higher. You know, after Lane, obviously we had Lane as one of our top four guys, and we got him. And then after that, we felt like everybody we got, we had ranked a little bit higher than where they got picked for one reason or another, and not in a negative way, but they fell to us, but we believe that was a positive. So, you know, the only maneuver we had to make during the whole process was to really just get to the top of the four so we could solidify the opportunity to get Matt, and we just felt there was so much value there. And to give up a seventh-round draft pick to get him, we all felt that was the right decision, but it was real orderly. You know, everybody had a lot of input. You know, it's amazing when you see the whole thing come together because there's so many people upstairs, from your medical staff to all your scouts to the coaches' evaluations to the personnel department to everybody kind of going into it. But, you know, it's pretty orderly as it goes through. So,
in the case of Jordan Poyer, first team All-American, very productive, as you mentioned. Why did he slip to the seventh round?
I don't know. You know, you see it all the time, and guys slip, guys go where they, how they fall, I don't know, you know, and I think it was one of those, again, we just kind of, as the names were ticking off, I'm looking at them, and it's the only name that's that high on our board, and it's sitting there, and we had two names going into that that were kind of clumped up near the top, and it was Kruger and him, you know, and we both thought both those guys, in our opinion, were fourth-round picks, and you're sitting in the seventh, and they're there. And the tough part sometimes is they're there, and you make a pick in the fourth, and you take Matt, and you're, you know, there we go. You know, and then you got a pick in the fifth, and we had some guys, but then we picked Wolf, and, you know, felt really good about the pick, but you're looking at those other guys up there and didn't think, you know, are they going to be there two picks from now? Didn't have a pick in the sixth, so you got to wait all that time. The guys you still had fourth-round grades on are still sitting there in the seventh round, so we felt really good about that. So why, I don't know.
Specifically with you and Howie upstairs, how was that – as far as just exchanging ideas as it went along. And I mean, a guy that you didn't know 4 months ago, and here you are kind of building a football team together.
I guess the best way to say it is there wasn't a lot of exchanging ideas today because all the work was done up until this point. So it wasn't like today how he was going to say, hey, we should take this guy who's ranked down here. It's, you know, we really let the board play itself out. There were certainly a lot of guys we really liked that got picked at other places. And you're like, dang, that guy goes. But as I think it was ordered enough for us and people that fit our criteria in terms of what we were looking for, that there was plenty of value there for us. And we felt that going through. I said earlier, you know, I didn't think the top of the draft, you know, all the way through was a huge can't miss guys, but I felt that there was a lot of depth in this draft, and that's why I felt a lot more comfortable, you know, going through the day two and day three because of what we had an opportunity to pick. It was just the unfortunate part is you wish you had more picks because we felt like there were some real quality players there, but you know, you picked and then you just kind of waited your turn and hope when you get a chance to pick again that there were some other good guys up there, and we felt like that's what happened. So
when you looked at the picks and you were down, were you surprised that you had 12 guys there?
I think at the end, you know, until someone mentioned that we lost to three of those guys earlier, you know, it wasn't certainly by design. I think when people now look back at the draft and you try to analyze it and try to, how did this happen? I think it just kind of happened. You know, there's still some other really good Pac-12 players that I'm aware of that went other places. You know, when you saw them go, you're like, wow, that kid's a good player. Khalid Holmes, you know, really, we love Khalid. You know, I think he's an outstanding center prospect, and the Colts took him. You know, and we wished when we took I think he went in the fourth after we took Matt. You know, there was a bunch of guys there, and you were hoping kind of does he fall and you get an opportunity to get him. But, you know, there's a couple top leagues out there, you know, the Pac-12, the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC. You know, it's – but it wasn't by design that we were targeting one thing over another thing, so.
Would you like to go to the draft or recruiting?
The draft, because it's over and done within 3 days. So, you know, and you're not on the phone with a 16-year-old high school kid, so, for 5 years, so. You know, it's 3 days and it's done, and there's nothing you can say about it. It's we picked you. So unless I think the last guy to hold out was Elway in '83, so I don't think that's happening.
And guys, you still got some recruiting left to do tonight, right?
Yeah, they're in the process of doing that now. And again, because of our depth and where we are, you know, we'll probably sign, I don't know the exact number, 5 to 7 guys, I think, as priority free agents, and you know, get those guys targeted right now, and hopefully we can get some guys in to just kind of fill those rosters out. Because there are a couple positions that, obviously, with a certain amount of picks we had today, we didn't address anything. And there's a couple positions we didn't pick players at. So, you know, if we can kind of round out our roster from that standpoint. But we feel like we got a pretty good group here. And I told our guys Thursday that that we're here working out, you know, is that, you know, the predominant amount of our team is already here. They're all working out. So we'll add some guys in these past 3 days to it. But, you know, when you go through it, there's not, you know, we're not going to have a wholesale 15, 18 guys that we picked up today, whether through the draft or free agency, are going to make this team. That's just the sheer numbers, you know, of what we have. So
when you look at the roster and you see, you know, you had free agency, you had the draft. Now you look at the roster and say, you know, we've got a good base of guys that can do what we want them to do. Are you look at the roster and overall happy with what you see?
If not, I'd be real depressed right now, to be honest with you. I mean, we've gone through free agency in the draft, so, you know, we're still, but it's a constant thing, you know, and you'll still look. There's still some quality players that didn't sign with people in free agency, you know, and I think some people were waiting to look, hey, let's see what we get in the draft, and then you know, then we can relook at that and see how they fit in and kind of as we move. But as everybody knows, it's an ongoing process. You know, you're going to sign guys during the season, you know, just because the one thing no one really has any control over is the injury factor. You know, all of a sudden you can feel, hey, we're pretty good at this spot, and then two guys get banged up, and you're like, holy smokes, you know. But the numbers of what you can carry dictate that too, you know, especially when you get into the season and you only have 53 on your active roster. You lose one or two at a position, and you're scrambling, and you got to have that auxiliary list of people that are out there and kind of on the streets that you can bring in short notice. You hope you don't have to get to it, but you got to be prepared for it, so.
There's a video floating around on YouTube of you interviewing Poyer, I guess at media day last spring. How did that come about? How much fun was that? And how much do you learn about a kid doing something like that?
I'm a media wannabe. You know, I would love to exchange positions with any of you guys. It was just trying to get my feet wet. So if my career in coaching doesn't work out, that I can sometime join the elite crew. Were they good questions? Did you guys like them? How'd I do? Did I start? Were they hard hitting? Were they turnt? I am a rookie. I mean, I'm not gonna be all pro the first time I do an interview. So.
You didn't put him down either on Marcus Wheaton.
I didn't.
No.
I let him off, right? I asked him.
Yeah.
I asked him about Wheaton, didn't I?
Exactly.
We were standing there.
Yeah.
Just we were at media day, and obviously, if you guys have ever been to college media day, which is a long, drawn out process, so I think we just tried to figure some fun time we can. entertain the fans. And and if you've been out there, the rivalry between the two schools is kind of unique. You know, they're very close. They're about 45 minutes between them. And I think people out there want you to hate them. But, you know, obviously, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever had interaction with Mike Riley. He's just one of the classiest guys I've ever met, let alone out inside or outside of coaching. So it was very hard for me in my career at Oregon to have a hatred for Mike Riley. It's just, I don't know if anybody hates Mike Riley. So, and I think people at Oregon used to get mad that I would talk so highly about Coach Riley, but I have tremendous respect for him. And it was the same thing for Jordan. I think when you see people like that and they go out and compete, you know, you just can't – you want to beat them. You know, and there's no question that we wanted to beat them when we played them, but you have to respect them. And I think when you guys meet Jordan, you'll kind of find out what type of quality kid he is, and we're excited to have him on our team. So.
You said these players – you said Barkley was on your top 50 list. Where was he on your list of quarterbacks? Where'd you have him ranked there?
He was right up the top of it, so as the whole thing broke, yeah.
A lot of these players that you drafted, pretty much all of them, to a man, really did well in the classroom. And I know that the book smarts don't necessarily translate into football smarts and vice versa, but how much did that play a part of it?
I think it's a huge part of it. You know, there's a very cerebral part to this game that I don't know if people sometimes give enough credit to. You know, and it's about making good decisions. And dumb people do dumb things, and smart people rarely do dumb things. So, you know, I think part of the evaluation that goes along with how fast does someone run a 40 or how fast does, you know, someone run a short shuttle or how strong is he is, I think the evaluation of them make processing, how do they make decisions, what type of can you count on them day in and day out, you know, are they dependable, you know, and those are huge components to making decisions. It's not just a stopwatch and a bench press. There's so much more that goes into it. And you know, trying to figure out the intangibles. You know, I heard a guy, and I'm not taking credit for it, but when people fail or high draft picks fail, it's one of two reasons. It's either intelligence or intangibles. So, you know, we can spend a lot of time in our evaluation part on the intelligence and on the intangibles, and we felt like we had a hit on that. So, you know, I hope these guys, they fit what we're looking for, you know, and so it's, you know, now it's our job as coaches to get them in here and try to teach them the scheme and get them moving. But that's a huge part of it, you know, because you do have to make great decisions, split-second decisions when you're on the football field. So understanding how they can handle things, how they learn, and do they understand the scheme is important to us. So,
can you talk to Howie about what you wanted specifically at different positions? How specific were you with certain measurables like arm length, 40 time, height, weight, all those different
things? We were very specific, but they were too before this. You know, I think – you have to be, because there's got to be a certain level that you got to bring in here. But, you know, if you constantly take the overachiever at every position, your team's going to be too small. You know, you're going to take the short defensive tackle backed up by the short middle linebacker backed up by the short safety. You know, all of a sudden you're going to get run over. So, you know, I think there's some certain lines that it's a combination of all of it. But, you know, I think you still have to kind of adhere to – we wanted to get bigger, you know, and we felt like we did. You know, I think their size is important, but there's not one factor that overrides the other. You know, I think you got to look at the whole package when you're making those decisions.
But are there deal breakers, like, you know, under no circumstances
are you trying to get a tryout? It's a deal breaker. Is that where we're going? Check your wingspan. How big is your hand? What size knee do you have? There's certain I wouldn't call them deal breakers, but there's certain things that set other people back. You know, that what's the difference between player A and player B? And a lot of times the measurables are the first thing that kind of match up, and then you kind of move from there. But there's parameters from all of that, yes.
Of the eight players that you drafted, how many did you offer scholarships to? How many were on your radar 5 years ago?
That's a good question. Lane, no. Zach. We recruited Zach. We offered Zach. Matt was committed already. Benny, no. Poyer, we made a mistake on. We didn't offer him. And Oregon State ended up taking him late. We should have offered him in hindsight.
You said you wanted him to walk
on. Yeah, we did. You know, I mean, really did. I wasn't the head coach at the time, but we knew he was a good football player, an in-state kid. We made a mistake, and, you know, hopefully I rectified that mistake. Kruger, we offered. Kruger. Yeah. Az recruited him.
King?
No. Did not recruit King.
Outside of being in the draft room, what I think five of the players you picked are guys you played against, but you didn't pick anybody from Oregon. Was there at any point in the draft that you were thinking about going?
Yeah. Trust me, the guy who went number three, we would consider very heavily. Didn't get a chance to pull the trigger on that one. You know, Kiko Alonso was a guy I would love to I coached him. I think he's an outstanding football player. I know the Bills got a great one in him. Kenyon Barner's the same exact way. We didn't draft a running back. You know, I think it's just you look and you're like, wow, you know, that guy's a really good football player. Kyle Long's an outstanding football player, you know. So four of them got drafted, but it's where we went in the draft, you know. Dion was gone before we made our first pick. Kyle was gone before we made our second pick. You know, Kiko was gone before we got a chance to make our, you know, so it just kind of fell that way. And it's unfortunate. But if they were there and we had a pick, you know, I got some pretty good insight on those guys. But it just, you don't get the ones you always, it's just kind of how it falls. But, you know, I know the guys that picked them, you know, when their names came off the board, everybody's kind of nodding. Those guys are pretty good picks, so. It's the same thing. I think when you start to get emotional and get involved, and I was probably pretty conscious of that, then what do you got to do to move up, you know? And then when you do it, it's if you move up to get him, then that means you don't get Benny Logan because you don't have a third-round pick, or you don't get Matt Barkley because you don't have a fourth-round pick. So it's the accumulation of putting the whole team together, you know, and saying, what are you willing to sacrifice to get one player? And a lot of times you look at what some people did when they jumped, and people do it. You know, it's, you know, the Redskins did it, and to RG3, but they gave up a lot to get him. You know, it's the same thing. People every year, the Falcons did it a couple of years ago to jump up to get Julio Jones, but usually there's a pretty good price tag. And I think everybody else out there realized how good those guys are. But just really the value to get them, just it, we wanted to accumulate, and I think we stuck to our guns. You know, just we ended up on the day, and we felt like it was a good decision for Matt, but we gave up a seventh-round pick to get Matt. But we just didn't feel like, you know, the price was kind of too rich if we're going to move up just to get one player. We felt like, because we felt like there was a pool of good enough guys there that if we didn't get that guy, there were still some pretty good guys left on our board, and it worked out for us from that standpoint. So.
All of your former players have congratulated this weekend.
Yeah. I was in touch with all of them. You know, got a text from Kenyon on the way down and talked to Kyle, you know, and same thing with Dion. You know, great guys, and it, special place, another special place in my heart for those guys. That's what made it difficult for me to make the decision to come here, was because of the guys like that. So, but I'm really proud of them, and I know they're going to be really good players in this league, and you know, we'll face off against them. But you know, that's just kind of the way this whole process works. You can't draft everybody you want. So,
we were asked about calling Nick when you guys made the Barkley decision. Did you feel any obligation to call Michael Vick at all, or did you guys?
Yeah, I called everybody, so I hope that doesn't was overblown. I called Brent Celek when we took a tight end, and James Casey, and I called Mike, and I called, we talked to Jason Peters, we talked to Todd Harriman. You know, it's just kind of the way we've done things. When we sign people in free agency, I called our guys just to make sure they know where we were. You know, I'm real big on open communication. I won't want there to be gray areas, and I think sometimes there's gray areas because there's a lack of communication between people, you know. This is what we did, and it's the same message that they had when they sat in this room on the first day I met them. So as we went through the draft and we added people to the draft, that, you know, at certain positions we called, you know. So I talked to Nick, left a message for Mike, haven't heard back from Mike, but talked to Celek, talked to James Casey, talked to Harriman, talked to Jason Peters. The list goes on and on in terms of where we are. So just trying to make sure we're on the same page with everybody.
Did you find that, like, as you guys were putting together your board, that your values were kind of the same as for Howie's?
There was a lot of discussion and a lot of fun, and I think that's healthy. You know, if you have a bunch of people that agree about things every single day, then, you know, I don't think that's the right way to go about things. You know, I think we got a lot of really smart people upstairs, and a lot of people, everybody has value. And eventually you have to make a decision on where someone's placed on the board. But I think when you listen to them, you take insight from them. You know, not everybody is correct 100% of the time. So, you know, you can listen to them. What did you see and what was the value? But I think if you respect people and they respect you, you can be healthy. And I think it's important to get different viewpoints of how things are and how things work. But then as a group, you got to come together and make a decision. And I think you know, I think they had a great schedule in terms of how we put things together and how we looked at things. And I don't think any decision we made was ever rushed. You know, we could sit down and let it, you know, kind of sit there and listen to it and take a look at it and make some decisions as we kind of orderly place the thing together. But they knew what we valued in players and got a lot of input from them, because you really, truly have to rely on them. They're on campus. You know, they get a chance to go work them out. You know, I can say, hey, I didn't like that kid because I saw him on film. But, you know, you may not know. You know, it's, well, that day it was windy, it was rainy. The kid had just hurt his knee in practice on a Wednesday, but you need to look at this game in 2011. You know, there's a, you know, they've done a lot of legwork and a lot of time, and coaches don't have time, you know, to do all the personnel work. It's just not humanly possible. You know, we got games to prepare for during the season. We don't watch anybody play live. We don't watch how people react during things. You know, we're basing a lot of it just off of video, but we got a lot of people that have seen them in person, so you really got to take their insight. There's a lot of really smart people up there that have some real good insight, so I think it's the smart way to do it. I think everybody should listen to each other, and, you know, as a group, we come together with a decision. So. It was real valuable, and I knew Tommy from when he was at the 49ers because he was on our campus all the time at Oregon. And he was actually – they had LaMichael James down there. They had Will Tekuafu down there. So he's had some of our players. So I've seen and had a chance to interact with Tom and talk to him about personnel and a lot of different things for the last 6 years. So, you know, I go back to when Tommy was looking at kids when we were at New Hampshire. So I've known Tom as a personnel guy in this league for a long time. So, you know, when the opportunity for him to come on board came about, it wasn't like – who is this guy? I was very familiar with him, very familiar with his work. And so, I thought he was a great fit. We were fortunate to get him. So, and I think his familiarity not only with the Eagles because he had been here before, but with Howie and then also myself and some of the guys on our staff that knew him. Because if you're a college football coach, you know who Tommy Gamble is because he's been on your campus, you know, looking at players for a long, long time. So I think that familiarity really helped with us getting along together. So
Going into this process, how much research did you do on some of the college coaches – that, you know, the predecessors to you about making the jump to the NFL and how they did, especially the successful ones like Jim or Harbaugh or maybe Jimmy Johnson going back that far, and how they approached the draft. Did you do any of that research there? Did you reach out to anyone?
No, the only guy I've talked to at any rate, to be honest with you, extensively about making the jump from college to the pros has been Coach Vermeil, and he's been great. I actually talked to him just before the draft started, you know, and he's been a great resource. You know, he's a local guy. Todd Light actually played for him for the Rams, and, you know, he just one of those – if you're a college coach or a pro coach, you know, the respect people have for Coach Vermeil, and he's been great. So if I've had questions, I've had the opportunity to call Coach and kind of bounce some things off of him, so.
Safeties, and then even in the corners of free agency and draft here, you still, when you have the whole team together, you know, I don't think you have one guy who's made the Pro Bowl. I mean, do you have enough talent here in your secondary?
I don't know. We're bound by the rules we have, so it's not like I can say, hey, let's go grab that guy. He's probably under contract. So, you know, we're going to go with the guys. I think we did a great job in free agency and adding Kerry and Fletch and Chung and Kenny and those guys that we brought in, and then, you know, you add Wolf to the mix, you add Poirier to the mix, you know, that's part of the whole deal. So at some point in time, you just can't keep saying, well, I need this guy, I need that guy. It's these are the rules we're bound by, and we use free agency. I thought we did a really good job in our approach to that. I thought we did a good job in the draft, and now we got to get on the field and coach them up and go play.
Okay. You ever wrestle any
guys? What's that? No. That kid's a classic. You guys will enjoy him. All right, guys.
All right, that is Chip Kelly, and he ends his press conference and thus ends the show. It is 9 hours after we've started broadcasting today. Eagles Draft Live comes to a conclusion for tonight. But make sure you stay with us throughout the night, throughout the day tomorrow. We're going to keep putting up the many, many pieces that we've accumulated over these last 3 days. And then, of course, on Monday, we'll wrap it all up. Our final Eagles Draft Live presented by Deaton Watson will come your way live at noon from the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. Great job by the entire PhiladelphiaEagles.com staff. Great cooperation throughout the organization. And thanks to you, everyone, for hanging in there the entire weekend, being part of our show. Great, great Eagles community around the world right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Available, of course, on our app, on our mobile site, and anywhere you want to get your Eagles news. Make sure you do it with us. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles night.
NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Lane Johnson, tackle, Oklahoma.
I think he makes a ton of sense.
He's the most athletic offensive tackle in the draft. And for the Eagles, this is a two-for-one. You get better at two positions with one draft pick, and you just got younger and more athletic right across the board.